1 Corinthians chapter 4. You should consider us to be the servants of Christ, to whom has been entrusted the truth of God. So remember the parable of the talents, where the man goes away and he gives talents to all his servants. And Paul's alluding to that. And he's saying that we have been given God's truth. And of course, you remember that they had to use that, they had to trade it. And some people got more than others. So I think some people have a greater, if you like, revelation of God's truth than others. The man who got the one talent, what did he do? He went and hid it in the earth. And that's the same word for keeping the faith. So it's like he thought, well, all I've got to do is to keep hold of what I've been given and keep on understanding it right, and that will be enough. But it wasn't. And so Paul says that we have been entrusted with God's truth. One thing required of a servant is that he's faithful to his master. Now, I'm not at all concerned about being judged by you or by anyone. I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not prove that I am finally innocent, because the Lord is the one who shall judge me. So, it's not a very good argument to say it's okay in my conscience, because you hear that sometimes. People will say, well, yeah, I do that, but it's okay in my conscience. But our conscience is not going to jump out of us and judge us at the day of judgment. Jesus said there is one thing that will judge you, and that is the word that I have spoken. And so Paul says, I know nothing against myself. My conscience is clear, in other words. But that doesn't mean that I'm okay, because the Lord is my judge. So when we say that the Lord Jesus is our judge, and that means that we'll be resurrected at the last day and be judged, that means that that is such a big thing that it means that we therefore are not to judge ourselves, to say, well, I think I'm okay. I think that it doesn't matter that I do this, that, or the other, because we are not the final judge. So it cuts many ways. We're not to judge other people, and we're also not to judge ourselves in that sense. So, you should not pass judgment on anyone until the time comes. The final judgment, then, will only be when the Lord comes, who will bring to light the dark secrets and reveal the hidden purposes in people's minds. So, one reason why we must not judge is because we cannot judge. We cannot know what is in the mind of people, and so therefore we must not judge, because we cannot judge. We're only judging by what we see with our eyes. Oh, I think that he's good, and I think she's bad, or whatever. I think that's wrong, what they did. But you don't know what's going on in people's minds. And it is what is in the heart that is important. And that's why in the Bible there's examples of people doing exactly the same thing, who get judged differently. For example, Uzziah, there was a king Uzziah who offered incense to God. And God said through the priests, it's not for you to offer incense, Uzziah. You're from the line of Judah. You're not a priest. Whereas when David acted as a priest, that was okay. He wore a linen ephod and he was also from the tribe of Judah. And that was okay. Because God looks at the heart. And so the heart is the mind. And this is what true Christianity is all about, what you think in your mind. This is what's so important. And so he says, and then everyone will have praise of God. Wow. At the day of judgment, we'll get praised by God. And we think, no. I'm going to be flat on my face saying, I'm a sinner. And he's going to be praising us. Now, how does that work out? Well, I think you've got an example of getting praise from God at the day of judgment in the parable that Jesus told, when he said that when he comes again, he will say to people, well done, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And they will say, but when did we see you hungry and feed you? So he's going to be heaping praise on his people, and they're going to say, but when? No, that's not right. This is mistaken identity. I'm not like that. I didn't do that. I'm not such a good person. So this is the great thing, that in this life, our left hand should not know what our right hand does. But God will praise us. And it's another amazing verse when Jesus says that when he comes again, we will do the bread and wine with him again, and he will come forth and serve us. And everything within us says, no, we can't have Jesus serving me. But that's how it's going to be. Because he will look at us so positively. He does look at us positively. Jude says, we will be without fault before the throne of God. For your sake, my brothers, I have applied all this to Apollos and myself, so that you may learn in us to not think of a person above that which he really is. None of you should be proud of one person and despise another. Because who made you to be better than another? Didn't God give you everything you have? So then, you cannot boast when all that you have is a gift. And that's so important to understand. If you understand grace, which means gift, you will not boast of anything. You'll not boast of how good you are at painting, at cooking, at whatever, what a great car you've got, a great house you've got. Because it is all a gift. It is all a gift. It is all of grace. Do you already have all that you need? Have you already become rich? Have you become kings, as it were, even though we are not kings? Well, I wish you really were kings so that we could reign together with you. And so it is as if God has given the very last place to us, the apostles, like men led out to die in public, as a spectacle for the whole world of angels and of men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. We are despised, but you are honored. So we are fools for Christ's sake. And I often come back to that verse because we really are often seen as doing foolish things and being foolish for the sake of Jesus. You know, I often find that when I'm traveling somewhere to baptize somebody. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Italy. Oh, yeah, you're going on holiday. You have a good time. You go to the beach. Oh, yeah. You say, oh, no, I'm actually going to baptize some Africans and feed them and with rice and whatever. I'm not really going on holiday. People are like, but you're stupid.
And we believe in God?
Yeah, because we believe in God, a lot of people think that we're stupid. And we are fools for Christ's sake. We're not trying to get rich. We're not trying to have a great, amazing life. We're trying to serve him. In the eyes of the world, if you're smart, you try and get yourself wealthy and have all the great things that money can buy. So, to this very moment, Paul says, we go hungry and thirsty. We're clothed in rags. We are beaten. We wander from place to place. We tire ourselves with hard work. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are insulted, we reply with kind words. We are no more than the garbage of this world. We are the scum of the earth to this very moment. So there was Paul saying that he actually went around in rags with clothes that had holes in. And he was, as a boy and as a young person, he was from a wealthy family. We had enough money to send him to another country, to Israel, to study at Jerusalem, at, as it were, the university. He was from Tarsus, that's what it's in Turkey now. So it was a big come down for Paul, and he did this. As he said, I'm a fool for the sake of Jesus. I write this to you not because I want to make you shamed, but to teach you as my own dear children. For even though you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, you have only one father. So there were lots of people who wanted to claim to be teachers, but Paul was their true spiritual father. For in your life with Christ, I have become your father by bringing the gospel to you. So when you take the gospel to people and they get baptized, you become a father to those, or a mother to those people. And this is the greatest thing that you can do in your life, to bring another person into spiritual life. It's the greatest thing you can do, to just convert one person, to baptize them and see them come to God's kingdom. That's worth more than millions, billions of pounds and euros and dollars. That's priceless. That's what makes life worth living. I can tell you something, my experience, and the most wonderful thing is if you live long enough for them to die and you bury them. That's a wonderful feeling. It's a sad feeling, but it's the most wonderful thing. You really feel that mission is accomplished. For this purpose, I'm sending you Timothy, who is my own dear and faithful son in Christ. So Timothy was another of Paul's spiritual children, although Paul didn't actually baptize him, but he had guided his growth so that he was like his son. He will remind you of the things which I stand for in the new life in Christ and which I teach in all the churches everywhere. Some of you have become proud because you think that I will not be coming to visit you. If the Lord is willing, I will come to you soon, and then I will see for myself what is the power which these proud people who are teaching you really have. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod or in a spirit of meekness and love? So, Paul was hoping to come to them and sort out all their weakness because they were so weak. But he was really going to come and sort it all out, just as Jesus is going to come in judgment.